Good morning, everyone. I'd like to read from Luke 22, verse 39 to 46. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray, so that you will not fall into temptation." Heavenly Father, once more we thank you for so many examples of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke that can help us to live a successful prayer life. In Jesus' name, with the forgiveness of our sins, I pray, amen. Jesus' prayer life in Luke's Gospel. We owe Og to pray as followers of Jesus, as the ultimate example for righteous living. How much more we should strive to imitate him? How can we follow his steps? I think since the very beginning of this service, even with the video, we have learned how to pray and how we should live our Christian life. But mostly by listening to his teachings, observing his example, and practicing it in our daily life, in our daily routine, we can follow his steps. We just end up a series in Luke where we were exposed to the most important themes in the chapters. Today, as we were told, we are focusing on prayer, mainly from Luke. It's interesting how Luke is differently from the other two synoptic gospels in this particular. Luke has sought to express the humanity of Christ in the portrayal of his life. For instance, in Matthew, he's shown more as a kingship displayed to reach the Jewish people. They were expecting the Messiah, so they were looking and they were seeing him some kind of traits of the Messiah. In Mark's Gospel, he is shown as the servanthood, as the Son of God. Right away, first chapter, first verse, he is the Son of God. And then we see his example of his servanthood, the servant of the Lord. But to express Jesus' humanity, Luke emphasized the prayer life of Jesus. No matter what he was doing, he healed, he taught, he helped, he fed, he did many wonders and miracles. But it looks like for Luke, particularly, he wants to focus on his humanity. And as human, he needs to depend on his fathers. As human, he could do nothing by his own, except by what God, his father, told him to do. As human, he had to humble himself and ask daily, what was God's will for him? So this is what we can find in Luke. Actually, Luke has several particular accounts that you only found in this gospel, in his prayer's life. Today, we are going to see some of them as a paradigm, as a model to be imitated for a successful spiritual life. Let me illustrate with Dr. Reverend Hernandez Dias Lopes, a well-known pastor in Brazil, a world-class preacher. He comes to Toronto twice a year, spends a week teaching the church around Toronto. He goes lots in US and Europe. And once he said, one of these conferences, he said that in 2000, he and another pastors went to South Korea. And they were wondering what was going on there. So he went, he visited 11 churches, mainly Presbyterian, Methodist, and Assembly of God. They met with the pastors. And then after seeing churches of 5,000, 55,000, 82,000, they asked all of them, what is the secret of the growth of this church? The pastor said, prayer. The other, prayer. And the other, prayer. The secret was praying all the time. Amazingly, different from Brazil, and probably different from here, the Presbyterian church is the biggest. The Presbyterian church has over 10 million members. The Presbyterian church in that country that was founded by people who believed in prayer in the name of Jesus is 25% of the population, 75% of the whole evangelical. And they said that no single Presbyterian church in that country was found before they would establish a morning prayer every day before they get organized. It means that they were have to have a group that 4 a.m. they would go every day before anyone goes everywhere to pray for the church. Once they have a routine, successful, they could organize a church. The pastor said, but you know, pastor, it's easy for you, it's your culture. You do that, you wake up early, you eat, and then maybe you go back to sleep. He said, that's not true. All the world wakes up early, but to make money. We wake up early to search for God's will, for His kingdom, because He is priority to our lives. One of the pastors of the 82,000 church started praying with his wife and the kids. And one thing the church did, I don't know when, but they did. They bought a mountain, and the church would pray in the mountain. This pastor that was alive and was still the pastor of that church at that time in 2000, he said his habit, his costume was, Saturday, he said to his family, stay home, I go to pray. And he would pray all Saturday until Sunday. He would come from the mountain to the church to preach. He said, my sermon never changed, but the hearts were melted. Praying, praying, praying. This is what we want to challenge you today. What does Luke teach us about Jesus' life style of prayer can help us in our daily life? Luke both opened up his gospel with instance of prayer in chapter 1:10. When God's people are praying outside of the temple prior to the angelic announcement of the birth of John, and also ends with the last verse of the gospel, 24:53, shows a scene of Jesus' followers at the temple continually offering blessing to God. It's not by chance. It's on purpose. First and last verse. So Jesus was not only a man that taught about prayer, but he was one that also practice it. Baylor states it, probably you have there, I state, more compelling than anything Jesus taught about prayer by precept was what he taught by his prayer practice. He depended upon it, and in the great soul-moving experience of his life, whether he needed courage, that we all need, strength, or fellowship with the Father, prayer was his reliance, his very mood. So in many moments of Jesus' ministry, Luke makes sure to record the fact that Jesus prayed. In no way was prayer an action that Jesus failed to practice. He not only taught his disciples how to pray, he demonstrated to them how to pray. I could follow. I had actually two sermons before coming today. I have to choose one. I left the other. The other was very like a Bible study, one verse and one. You can go overlook and know how to do it. I chose Jesus' prayers, but you can go either way. He did both, and both are equally important. Prayer at his baptism. Luke 3:21. Okay, we go back. You don't have? You've gone already, the baptism? No. All right, so his baptism, prayer at his baptism. Let me read for you then. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. Interesting. Jesus was already baptized. And now he was praying. And as he was praying, the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended. He wants to be sure, Luke, that we get it clear. Wasn't the baptism who brought Jesus this experience in relationship vertical with the Father, but was his prayer. The baptism was done to give us the model, the example to be followed. But when he was praying, the heaven was open. The heaven touched the earth. The earth touched the heaven. This is what can happen when we pray. It's not about the heaven. It's not even the baptism. Some people go to Jerusalem because they want to have the same experience. Go in your bedroom. Go in your room. Go in privacy. And God will show up. This indicates that Luke understands the descending of the Spirit to be coincident with the prayer of Jesus, not the baptism. So, maybe to go further because you got some there. At the early church, all church would pray, and most of all believers would pray for 3 days and fast for those who want to be baptized. And the one who was going to be baptized, they should pray and fast for a week. I don't know if we'll do that. But this is what they did because the persecution and the importance of that. How we see this prayer nowadays? So Jesus prays at his baptism, and Jesus also prays at his crucifixion. And as well, we understand that the baptism was the beginning of his public ministry. But he understands that moment when he prays, everything was connected. Not only his baptism was his initial of his public ministry, but his life, his crucifixion, and his resurrection as well. So, we should pay attention to that. Secondly, the routine prayer. Luke 5:16 says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. This is very important. Luke want to be sure that he records it. And the Gospel of Luke is the only one who records this Jesus retreating to pray before the healing of the leper and just prior to his first major encounter with the scribes and Pharisees. He wants to note that Jesus regularly go to pray. Okay, not occasionally, but regularly. He needs to be recharged. Ellen and I, we always think, oh, maybe Jesus died when he was 33 because it was too much. I thought that many times. Too much problem, too much people, too much request. But that's not right. He died because he accomplished everything at this age. He did everything he needed in 3 years, and he paid the price for us to be saved. But the way he was not heavy, the way he was not in bad mood, the way he was always treat people with respect, justice, and love is because he find time to recharge all the time. Often withdraw. We always see Jesus doing things, action, like I said in Mark and other gospels. It's true. But he always found time to pray. Probably he would wake up much earlier. He would go to bed much later. But he found the time to recharge in order to respond to the needs of those who flocked to him. Jesus occasionally needed to separate himself for communion with God. That is all the power comes from. That's all the motivation, the love, the energy comes from the prayer, relationship, communion with God. Do we have a place we go to? Do we take some time daily as a quiet time, devotional, or pause, or reflect and submit? Jesus did often, says Luke. Third, in the choosing of the 12. How do we choose people to serve? Luke 6:12 says the way Jesus did. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designates apostles. How do we choose our leaders? What is our method? How are those appointed or elected? Prior to the calling of his 12, Luke states that Jesus prayed all night. Because it was not only something they were going to do right away, but they would carry God's mission until the very end. They would take Jesus' place. And nobody can do God's work and Jesus' work unless in God's way. And God's way should be well prayed. So, Jesus also prayed before he asked for the confession. So Luke 9:18. For once when Jesus was praying in the private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say I am?" So Jesus prayed before the question or to question the disciples about his true identity. He didn't want to embarrass them. He didn't want to make them to say foolishly. He didn't want to make them feel guilty. So he prayed for them even before asking them for a verdict. So I could go over and over, but it's very important. When you and I think of speaking about Jesus to someone, to pray a lot about it. We don't wait. We don't want to anticipate a false confession. We don't want to put somebody in a worse situation. We don't want to send somebody to hell, in a way, because they are not prepared. So we should pray. And Luke, differently than the other Gospels, Luke omits Peter's denied, or Peter's saying about he used by Satan. Luke doesn't say that. He prefers to leave that negative reaction of Peter and evil used, just to leave here the positive one, that Peter confessed who Jesus was, and Jesus said, "You didn't tell it because it's come from you, but from the Father." So Jesus' prayer was very important because Peter got the revelation from God. And that's what we want when we pray, that people receive the convincement from the Holy Spirit in their heart. And of course, later on, Peter would be the leader, the reference for the other 12. At the Transfiguration, 9:28, as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. So Jesus took the three disciples of the circle, or the circle of the three disciples, to the mountain to pray. And as he is praying, Luke records that his appearance was changed, and he was joined by Moses and Elijah. So it's interesting, because it's the only time, only once, Luke tells that people were with Jesus when he was praying, his prayer, his private prayer. It's the only once somebody were allowed to go with him. And maybe, and somebody, McLaren offers an interesting theory about it, and I believe this is the truth. He suggests that maybe could be a common occurrence when Jesus entered in prayer. Probably every time that Jesus prayed, he had that experience, but nobody had seen. Nobody were allowed to be with him. So in other words, it's possible that every time that Jesus was in communion with God, the glory of God was shown from his face. But he only recorded this one, and the only ones we see others saw it. How do we look like after praying? Unfortunately, I've seen people after praying doing things nobody would approve. Some people, after sometimes praying, looks like they get worse because they didn't believe what they prayed. And they rush to do things they shouldn't be doing. When we pray, we should be sure we are in God's presence, respectful, reverently, and we are talking to our Father in the name of Jesus. Intercession for Peter. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. So Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed because he knew Satan was going to be around of them. So how we take it is for us. We do not need to be ashamed, afraid, fearful. Jesus has already done this prayer for you and for me. There is no need to be afraid of the devil, our enemy. We are insured by this prayer, and Peter's recorded it later on. Humble yourself and resist the devil, and he is going to flee. As long as we pray humbly in the name of Jesus to the Father, believing that Jesus is with us, there is no need to be afraid. We are covered against Satan. Prayer at Gethsemane, Luke 22. Pray that you will not fail in temptation. It's the text we just started. So Jesus has prayed for our bad days, and so should we. In his case, he was praying for himself first, and then he was praying for his disciples. Himself, because it was too hard. We know he dropped blood of his own flesh by praying. Anguish, agony. It was a hard time he was going to face at the cross. But he also prayed for us that we wouldn't fall into temptation. No one could defeat Israel. They experienced that. But sin. But sin. No one could win Israel's army or kingdom except their own people by sinning. So that's why Jesus is praying, urging us, pray that you will not fall into temptation. The last, he prayed on the cross. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Jesus called out with a loud voice, saying, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Again, Luke is the only author to record the prayer of Jesus on the cross. The first is a prayer of forgiveness for those who are going to execute him. Even while on the cross, Jesus' thoughts and prayers were focusing on those whom he came to save. From the beginning to the end, he never lost the sight of his mission and what he was here for. So at the cross, he prayed for those. Forgiveness. The second prayer is described as a prayer of trust. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. It is not a prayer out of doubt or agony. Rather, it is a declaration that the kingdom of God has been established by the completion of Jesus' ministry. Forgiveness do not come without praying. So if today you need to forgive somebody, if today you need to ask forgiveness, this has to be emboldened, dressed by prayer. How are you doing with that? Do we trust God in all matter? This is a matter of faith, so we should pray to believe. Concluding, there were a lot of examples of prayer in Luke. Go back, listen to the audios, broadcast, go to your Bible, read the Bible. There are large lifestyle prayer and the teaching of the prayer that Jesus did. I try to bring here the most important ones, and both are equally important, what he taught and what he did in prayer, because his example for us to live in a good life, a successful life, a life that strives and imitates him. So Jesus should be our example to be followed. He teach his followers both how to pray, the Lord's Prayer, we did that here, and what matter to pray persistently, not only occasionally, when you feel like. May God bless your heart, and let us keep on praying. Pastor Ben.